is about the blessing of broken things, even time. You see, from the beginning of our lives, from the cradle to the grave, our life is filled with broken things. From the earliest memories, we can recall, first of all, those broken toys and our childish tears that were spilled over those broken toys, and then broken friendships as children, and then as we became adults. The breaking process does not end, because throughout life, there are things in our lives that get broken. And today, all you do is have to read the newspapers, and you realize that the older we get, the weeping continues over broken things in our lives. We see things like broken homes, broken vows, broken hearts, broken dreams, broken health. And we could go on and on about the things in many of our lives, if not all of our lives, that we have had to endure because of broken things. But broken things are common things in life. And we were recently in Branson, Missouri. How many of you have been in Branson? If you like country music, it's a great place to go. And I remember a couple of songs I've heard in Branson. One of them was "My Achy Breaky Heart." And of course, many of the country songs are about broken hearts. And one that really had a kind of a spiritual significance was, I'm trying to think of it now, "Please Pardon Me, But I Didn't Promise You a Bed of Roses." I think that's how it goes. And you know, as I think about what Jesus said about life, He said, in this life, we're going to have tribulations. But you know the wonderful thing about that verse? He says, "But be of good cheer. Be happy when you have broken things, because I have overcome the world." And today I want to look at three passages and see how that God uses broken things in our lives to bless us. Now that might seem like a paradox, because when we think of broken things, we usually think of heartaches and tears. And when God sends a trial into your life and something bad happens, every one of us have two choices. We can either shake our fist at God and get angry with Him, and I've seen many people do that, and turn their back on God, or you can say, "Thank you, God. What are you going to teach me through this experience?" And so in these three passages, I hope that we'll learn the value of broken things. First of all, we see a broken ship. A little bit of Acts, I think it's chapter 26, was read. And in this story, we see that God does use broken things. And it's a long chapter, so I'm just going to summarize it. Acts chapter 27, actually. And here we see the scriptural account of a broken ship. Paul is urging, Paul gave his testimony to King Agrippa. And King Agrippa obviously was impressed with his testimony. And so he decided to send him to Rome so that he could actually face the emperor and share with him why he was doing what he did. Well, so on their way to Rome, after boarding a second ship en route to Rome at a place called Safe Harbors, it was right near the Isle of Crete. And a few years ago, when my wife and I celebrated our 50th wedding anniversary, we actually also were on a ship right in that exact place. Now, Paul was on a similar ship. He wasn't on a cruise ship when he went there. And things were quite a bit different. But Paul had sensed from the Lord that this was not going to be a good trip. And the Lord had obviously showed to him that there was going to be bad weather. But the Bible says the army officer was convinced by what the captain of the ship and the owner of the ship said. And he said, "We're not going to listen to Paul. We're going to go ahead and sail." And of course, after throwing over a bunch of cargo when the storms came, and much like in Jonah's day, and they were at their last wits. And an angel of the Lord appeared to Paul one night, and he said, "Don't be afraid, because every one of these 276 men that are on board, they're going to be saved." And so as they got near the shores, and of course we read the account this morning or heard it read, that the ship began to actually break up into pieces, and the soldiers were ready to kill some of these prisoners, thinking they might escape. But because the centurion had a liking for Paul, he said, Paul has assured us that we're all going to reach shore safely. And that's exactly what happened. But why did they reach shore safely? You know, had the ship sunk out there in the ocean, they probably all would have perished. But the very fact that God allowed that ship to be broken into many pieces, it says that many of the people, that those that couldn't swim, got onto the pieces of that ship and floated into the shore, and not one single person perished. To me, it's a reminder that of the salvation that Jesus offers us because of the broken body of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, God, or I should say man, is continually trying to build his own ship to reach the other side of the shore. He's always doing things in order to reach that safe harbor. But what God wants us to do is to recognize that all those things are futile and inutile. And the lesson we learn from the broken ship is from the beginning of time, men and women have been trying to build their own ship to reach heaven. And we know that it's only one way. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man should come unto me except by the Father." And then the Bible says very clearly in Acts 4:12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." So once we allow God to break the ship of our own making and accept His plan of salvation, which of course is the cross of Jesus Christ on which He hung, and that is the only way that we can earn our spiritual salvation. Now, these men's physical lives were saved. But for us, it's a wonderful lesson to realize that we are saved because of the broken body of Christ and His suffering on the cross. And all aboard the ship were saved. Their physical lives were saved. But we're saved because only one thing can save us, and that is Jesus and His bloodshed. The second blessing of broken things is the blessing of a Spirit-filled life. You know, once we become a Christian, the blessings don't end. It's a great blessing to be saved. It's probably the greatest blessing on earth. But that's just the beginning, because He wants to use us in a mighty way. And so He gives each one of us His Holy Spirit, and His Holy Spirit dwells within us. And this second story that I'm not going to bother to read it because it's a couple of chapters long in the book of Judges. But it's about a man named Gideon. Now, Gideon is called a great warrior of God. But, you know, if you study those two chapters in Judges, you realize that Gideon was not really a great warrior of God. And when the angel said to him, I think he was using a little bit of sarcasm. Because if you study Gideon, he came from a lowly class of the Israeli, the Jewish people, and he was afraid. And when God told him that he was going to be the deliverer of the children of Israel from the Midianites, "Oh no, Lord, not me! No, I'm the least of the least." And he was just like Moses; he couldn't do it. In fact, he tested God. He put out a fleece. Do you remember that story of putting out the fleece? Not once, but twice. And finally, God convinced him that He could use him. But once God convinced him that he could be used, just like God had to convince Moses that he could be used, well, then finally Gideon was ready to go. In fact, when the angel first came to Gideon, where was he? He was hiding behind a wine press because he was afraid of the Midianites. But here he is now ready to lead this huge army of 30,000 men. But God was probably a little bit concerned that this man who had been so self-defacing might get proud of the 30,000 men defeated the Midianites. So what does God do? He calls that army down to only 300 300 men. And with those 300 men, they were able to defeat the Midianites. But how did they do it? I'm sure we all know the story. It's an exciting story. And today, go home and read those two chapters in Judges. I think it's 6 and 7. But anyway, and here they are. Gideon told them, you're going to get a torch, and then you're going to get a pitcher, an earthen vessel. You're going to put it over the top of that torch, and then you're going to have a trumpet, and when you blow that trumpet, you smash that torch, and it gave the impression that instead of 300 men, there were 300 companies of men. And if you've been in, or 300 battalions, and I've been in the army, so I know what 300 battalions could do. And you know, it so confused the Midianites that they fled, and they thought they were surrounded by a huge, huge army. And as you realize, Gideon realized, it wasn't anything that he did, it was God. And everything that God asks us to do, when we want to take the glory, then we're not going to have the victory. But you know, the wonderful lesson in that story is once again something that had to be broken. And that was the broken pitcher. Because if those pitchers would have stayed intact, their lights could not have shone forth. And you know, oftentimes the Holy Spirit is compared to a light or a fire. And that fire, that light is in our lives. That's why Jesus said in the Gospels, let your light shine before men. Don't hide it under a bushel. Don't keep it in that earthen vessel. And that's where the breaking process comes in. You know, sometimes God has to break things in our lives in order for the Holy Spirit to shine out and to show the world who we really are. Because you really can't tell a man or woman's true character until you see that character tested under trials and tribulations. And when God brings these breaking experiences into our life, like I said, we can do one of two things. We can either get angry with God, or we can thank Him for what happened and realize, Lord, You want to do something great with my life. As I said, the Word of God often refers to us as earthen vessels. And we treasure these earthen vessels. We love them. And we do everything to pamper them and to make them feel comfortable. But you know, sometimes God says, I'm going to break that vessel. And many times, whether it be broken health or a broken marriage or a broken heart or many, many ways, and I'm sure every one of you could testify today of something in your life that you treasured that was broken. Thank God for it, because every time He breaks something, He makes something more wonderful and more beautiful out of it. And that is why God does not want us to complain when God brings trials and testings into our life. He is breaking us in order to make us into a better person, into His own image. He is the potter, and we are simply the earthen vessels, the clay. And He can choose to do what He wants with our lives. And we should never grumble or complain. We should thank Him every day for every circumstance that comes into our life, because God is using that. There's a verse that I learned many, many years ago while I was a student in Bible college, and I repeat that verse very often. I hope that it becomes one of those verses that becomes very precious to you. It's found in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, and I'm just going to read it real quickly here. And this, of course, is the Apostle Paul. And talk about a man that was broken. That man was broken. And yet, here's what he says. I beseech you, I beg you, therefore, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what that is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You know, often we wonder, what does God want me to do? And I think if we follow those little steps, present yourself as a living sacrifice, and then don't be conformed to this world, but be renewed in your mind, He'll show us what we're to do. He had to show Moses that. He had to show Gideon that. And He had to show that to Paul and his experience on the ship that. Because He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. He wants our light to shine. And He wants us to be a testimony in this world. I can remember just a breaking experience that came into my wife and I's life. And God has used it to bless our lives. We were in Mali, as you know, for many years, 14. And we had three wonderful daughters, and they're all serving the Lord in full-time ministries. And we praise God for each one of them. But like every father, I wanted a son. And the Lord gave us a son. And before our son was born, we named him Nathan David. And that means the beloved gift of God. And when Nathan was born, it wasn't long until we realized that Nathan had some serious disabilities. It even resulted in us having to leave Mali and coming back to America. And that was heartbreaking for both of us because we had planned to spend our lives in Mali. We knew this is where God had called us to. We saw God working there. He used us to help start three churches and many other ministries. And here, all of a sudden, God sends this child into our life that you might say was broken. And we had chosen a name, Nathan David, the beloved gift of God. But to this day, I still thank God for Nathan, and I still believe with all my heart that he is a beloved gift of God, because he's used Nathan to open new doors of ministry for us, and he used Nathan in many other ways. And so sometimes when we have these very difficult things in life, we know that God knows all about it. A couple of years ago, man and I were in Harlem, Holland, and we were able to go visit the Corrie ten Boom house in Holland where her parents hid these Jewish refugees during the Second World War. And we saw this beautiful tapestry that Corrie ten Boom made. And if you look at the back side of it, it looks like a mess. But if you look at the front side, it is so beautiful. And Corrie ten Boom's life is a wonderful testimony of how God uses broken things to bless her. Because I've also been to the very camp at Auschwitz where she was imprisoned. And I've seen some of the evidences of the terrible things that the Nazis did during that very terrible period in history. And yet, out of all those broken lives and broken ashes, God has accomplished great things. And He still continues to do that. And that's why I want to encourage you. Don't be angry with God when your health breaks or you lose a loved one or even if a marriage breaks up or whatever the case. God is there. And if you keep your hope and trust in Him, He will fill you and He will break that earthen vessel so that the light can shine forth and you can be a blessing to other people. And finally, I want to talk about the blessing of a broken net. You see, the story of salvation we saw in the broken ship and the blessing of a Spirit-controlled life was seen in the story of the broken pitcher. And the next blessing we see is the blessing of serving Christ. There's no greater joy in the world than serving Christ, whether it be as a doctor, a lawyer, a preacher, a missionary, or a builder, or whatever. But if you are serving Christ with all of your heart, it's one of the greatest blessings in life. And this story told to us in the fifth chapter of Luke. And once again, we don't have time. I'm not going to read it. But it's usually called the miraculous drought or catch of fish. I think a better title would be the blessing of a broken net. Because the broken net is what Christ used to call Peter into the Lord's service. Here we see the calling of one of the greatest servants of Jesus Christ, Simon Peter. One day as Christ was preaching, he asked Peter's permission to use his boat as sort of a platform on which he could preach. And after he was done preaching, the crowds dispersed. He told Peter to let down his nets, because being God himself, he knew there was a lot of fish down there in those waters. But you know, Peter was a great fisherman, and he probably didn't know what this guy was talking about, because he had fished, and there hadn't been much there. And so instead of completely obeying God, he was timid, and so he threw down one net. And that's probably why the net broke. Had he thrown down all the nets that Jesus commanded him to throw out, maybe they wouldn't have had a broken net, and maybe they would have had many fish. But you know, Jesus knew about all that. And everything that happens in our life, Jesus knows about it ahead of time. And he also knows what he can do with those things. And so the net broke, of course. And that is when Jesus realized, or I should say, that's when Peter realized who Jesus really was. That's when Peter fell down on his knees and said, "Thou art truly the Son of God." And that is when Peter decided to become a fisher of men instead of a fisher of fish. And God used him in a mighty way. And you know, the same thing happens in our lives. He sometimes takes things away from us or breaks things that are special because he has something better in store for us. Over 55 years ago, I was working underground in a uranium mine. And I planned to do that the rest of my life because I was making some good money. I had two cars. One of them was almost brand new, 1955 pink and white Crown Victoria Ford, and a Model A. And I had a lot of friends, and I thought I had the world by the tail. But you know, God had some other plans for me, and I lost my job in the mine. And I was like some people. I was shaking my fist at God. Why did you allow this, God? I've been witnessing for you, and in fact, that's one of the reasons I lost my job, because I've been witnessing. And I heard God say so distinctively to me that afternoon, he says, "I don't want you mining anymore." And I knew that was what God didn't want me to do. And after a series of circumstances, a few weeks later, I ended up in a Bible college. And that's where I met my dear wife. And that's when I first heard really what missions was all about. And that's where God called me to be a missionary. My wife had been called as a child. And we knew that God was leading us into foreign missionary service. But he had to break my Model A, which was very precious to me. And what happened was that I got into my Model A and I was ready to go to another mine to get a job because I wasn't about to give up mining. And the transmission housing literally broke, and gears literally fell on the ground. Well, if you know anything about a car, you don't go very far that way. And that's when I heard God say, "I do not want you mining anymore." So for me, it took a broken transmission of a Model A to convince me that there was more in life than making a lot of money and having a lot of fun. And I've never regretted that I went to Bible college. I've never regretted that we spent the years we did in Africa, and I've never regretted the ministry that God has called us into these past 34 years since we've returned from Africa, because we see that God is using our lives to bless other people as we serve Him. And so whatever it is in your life that God is breaking, thank God for it today, because He either wants to save you, because whatever way you think you're going to get to heaven, if it's not by the blood of Christ, you won't make it. And also, remember, He wants the Spirit that lives within each one of us to shine forth to the rest of the world. He doesn't want us to hide it under a bushel. How many of us know that song, "This Little Light of Mine"? Hide it under a bushel? No! I'm going to let it shine. And that's what He wants us to do today. And then finally, He wants every one of us, whether we be missionaries or pastors or whatever, to serve Him with our whole heart. And we can do that if we really love Him, because we know He loves us, and He loves us enough to allow us to have breaking experience.